So good morning again. wonderful to be here to share with you. And I want to share some thoughts from Psalm 107. It's called the Seafarer's Psalm. And it's known, well known. Hopefully you know it as well. So we can read together. And I think the words are on the screen. No, they're on the sheet. They're on the sheets, yeah. So Psalm 107. And let's hear God's word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Amen. And we pray God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. So it's quite a long psalm. I hope that we'll take time to read the whole psalm later in our homes. You know, we were singing many worship songs, and it's really encouraging the theme of the sea and light. At the end of Psalm 106, verse 47, it says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations." And then the following psalm after Psalm 107, Psalm 108, "My heart is steadfast, O God, I will sing and make music with all my soul." And just an interesting point is that throughout Psalm 107, it doesn't directly speak to God, it speaks about God. And we can see this in many of our worship hymns and psalms that we sing, that many times we're singing about God. But isn't it wonderful that we can talk and sing directly to our God? It's a relationship. As we always say, it's not about religion. It's about relationship, personal relationship, a living God, a God who's here with us, who knows the details of every one of our lives and every struggle that we go through. He's a God who is with us. We're not alone in this world. Well, Psalm 107 starts, and there was a ship in Whitegate Harbor the other night, and it was called Gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And I don't know if you know this song. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. His love, his mercy, his goodness. In Africa, they say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I was privileged to go to Nigeria, and there was 10 million people in a worship service. Then in South Korea, there was a church with, I think, 800,000 people in one church. You know, it's amazing that we see in the West, where we've had Christianity for so many generations, that people seem to have lost interest compared to in other countries. They're running on fire with the gospel and with God's good news. I remember there's a testimony which I saved on the computer of Walter, the minister, the missionary I took over from. And he went on board a ship back during communism, Iron Curtain. And five Ukrainian sailors became Christians. They went home. Many churches were springing up throughout Ukraine. And 200,000 or 300,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. The seeds were planted in Cork. We have God's word. It can change lives, families, and nations. We have a precious cargo, but we must give out the cargo, not just keep the cargo to ourselves. A ship that sits in the harbor with its cargo inside the ship is no good. It has to get out of the ship. Even think about salt spreaders. If the salt doesn't go on the roads, then the roads will be icy. We need to be salt and light in this world. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe or the enemy. There is an enemy. And many people in this world do not know there's an enemy. But we as Christians know that there is an enemy of the souls of men and women. Ephesians 6 reminds us we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a war. Jesus has won the victory. And then in verse 2 it says to say it out, to speak it out, to tell it out. We must speak it out. The words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart, those are interlinked. What's the overflow of the heart is what comes out of our mouths. What is worship? It's what we ascribe worth to in our lives. And what are we full of? I hope we're full of God's good news rather than the world's good news. N-E-W-S, verse 3. The north, the east, the west, and the south, the news. That's the all. The sailors are going all over the world, north, south, east, west. But God's good news is going all over the world. And N-E-W-S, we're often full of the world's news, aren't we? And it's very much bad news. But we should be full of God's good news. And N-E-W-S could also stand for never-ending witness of salvation. Well, this psalm has four snapshots, and I've got loads of pictures and slides to introduce the work to you. But verse 4 talks about people wandering in the wilderness. And, you know, there's people wandering, and there's people wondering. And then in verse 10, there's people wallowing. And then there's people in verse 17, willfully disobedient. And people, verse 23 onwards, just working. So there's all kinds of people in this world. But people are wandering, they're wandering. And you know, there's deserts inside the heart. Ireland is the Emerald Isle, green grass everywhere. But the desert and the lack of God's light, the darkness. People in darkness, verse 10, it says they'd rebelled against God. Pride, they'd been willfully disobedient. Bondage. You know, there's a desert around, I said, but there's also many prisons around. Prisons in the mind, isn't there? Depression, anxiety, sleeplessness, stress, addictions. An addiction, we think of alcohol and cigarettes and other things, but addiction can be to anything which is taking up more time in our life than should be. God, it says, verse 16, he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Nothing impossible with God. Then people who are sick because of their rebellion and because they turned away from God. And I think of the hymns, you know, the hymns which we sing. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. And then in terms of sickness, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And darkness, Charles Wesley, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Do any of us here this morning feel like there's something empty or something missing in our hearts? How about something which is like a chain that we can't seem to break? What about spiritual sickness, which we could call backsliding? How about the oceans then? Verse 23. The hymn says, the storm may roar, but God is round about me. The storms of life. Now, I was never a sailor, but I've been on more than 10,000 ships at this stage. which is quite incredible when you think about it. All different shapes and sizes. But it doesn't matter. The storms of life, the ups and downs. And in this psalm, it describes it perfectly because the sailors say this is called pitching when the ship is doing this. And this is called rolling when they're like a drunken man on the ship swaying from side to side. In their peril, their courage melted away. They were at their wit's end. Has anyone ever felt at their wit's end? Well, the prodigal son came to the end of himself when he was in the pigsty. His money ran out, his friends ran away, and he remembered he'd a good father at home. And he didn't even consider himself worthy to be called a son. He said, he'd just be a servant. But the father ran and hugged. This is in Luke chapter 15. He hugged, he embraced, he forgave him, and he gave him the best. But the older brother, a bit like the story of Jonah, the good guy actually is the bad guy. You know, the heart. Maybe you've been on the Christian walk for a long, long road, a long many number of years. And sorry, my English is very bad because I've been on too many ships. And I speak like a sailor sometimes. But Jesus has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The psalm is a call to prayer and to praise. I remember in Bible college, an essay, a subject we were doing was Christian spirituality and the Isle of Lindisfarne and monastery and mission. How is our monastery? Now, none of us are monks, but how about our quiet time, our private time with the Lord? Speaking to myself as well, Spurgeon called prayer the engine room of the church. And that is the secret of the church in Nigeria and the church in South Korea, prayer and fasting. Now, many times here in the West, it's more like pleasure and feasting, right? But in South Korea, for example, that massive church I mentioned, the elder said, every member of this church reads 3 chapters of the Bible a day, prays for 1 hour a day, and witnesses to one person every day. He said the secret is prayer and fasting. They have 4 a.m. prayer meetings every single day of the week. And it goes right through until 7, you know, before work. People are there praying. The people's deliverance. See, this psalm is full of God's goodness, his love, but it's full of salvation, healing, and deliverance. Salvation for the spirit, healing for the body, deliverance for the soul. And how did the deliverance and the rescue come about? It's when God's people, when any people turn to God, look to God. God is the rescuer. He's the only one. And the good news is he's wanting to rescue us. He's seeking people. He's gathering people. And then this is a challenging thought. You know, the chorus in each of these things is, in each of these snapshots, is that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them. Let them give thanks. So prayer and praise should be at the heart of our lives, individually and as a community. But challenge from Spurgeon in the devotional I read, you know, on the 22nd January is from Job. Does Job fear God for naught? Was the evil question of Satan. And Spurgeon continues to say that the people, they love God because he's good to them. And in other words, people are only self-serving. But you know, love and selfishness are opposites. Spurgeon said, their love is the love of the table, not of the host. A love of the cupboard, not the master of the house. As for the true Christian, he expects to have his reward in the next life and to endure hardness in this. The promise of the old covenant was prosperity. The promise of the new covenant is adversity. Because in this psalm, you know, people turn to God in a problem. But it's not supposed to be just coming to God when we have troubles, but coming to him all the time, a personal relationship. So those are some thoughts for us from this wonderful psalm. I'd encourage you to read through and to meditate on it. Verse 20 said, he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's word. Ultimately, Jesus Christ, the psalm is pointing us to the Lord. The Lord who is the life-giving water in the wilderness and the desert. And he's the light in the dark place. He's the one who can break any chains asunder. And he is the captain of the ship. And he can calm any storm. And he can heal any disease. Jesus, our Savior. And I have lots of slides to introduce the ministry. So I think I'll go with like this. So the mission itself has been long-standing, 1846. And as I said, we took over from Walter and Mary Burrell quite a long time ago, 2006. And that's our family there on a cruise liner. Leonard Ravenhill said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Is Jesus Lord in your life today, in your family? So when they brought the boat to land, they forsook all and followed him. What are you and I forsaking for Jesus today? As I said to the boys and girls, there's so many kinds of ships. And I knew nothing about ships at all. I have a degree in forestry. yes. So, you know, there's, as I said, 5 people on some ships, 5,000 people on other ships. And the cruise liner up here. And then the car carrier and all those different types of ship. There's people on board because God loves people. And you know, one of my dreams about going to the forestry was to get away from people into nature and creation. People have lots of problems, but if a tree has a problem, it's very easy, just cut it down. God loves people so much. That's why Jesus came. It's a Muslim Indonesian cook on a fishing boat over 10 years ago. And they were only getting $300 salary a month, sleeping on bunk beds. They're fishing for tuna, and one fish cost 12,000 euros for one fish. And very important point here is we get off the ship before the ship sails, otherwise we could end up in Timbuktu. 9 months is the normal, so that means in 30 years of being a seafarer, it's only 5 years at home with their family. And that's the seafarer's life. It's so lonely. And they are the breadwinners. It might be a woman on board as well, the wife and the husband at home. Martin in Hamburg port, he's written many, many books. And he's been on over 30,000 ships. And one of his books there at the back suggested donation, €3. And then all those toys and other books is free for Ukrainians. And the calendars, everything free there. And there's literature in Russian, Ukrainian. So what do we do? Well, we help them practically and spiritually. We're their friend, as the name of the mission suggests, Seamen's Christian Friend. And we just show God's love to them, help them practically and spiritually. And it's amazing the opportunities we have. Then we have different missionaries, you know. Cork is busy enough, you know, for me. I have been to ships in different places, even different countries. But Cork is busy enough, and Charles and I visited over 90 ships. He's a guy who helped me over 90 ships in a month, and we've visited over 50 this month. So it varies between the months. Team, together everyone achieves more. Sam is a missionary in Belfast. Jay, he's in Dublin port. He's a Korean man with an Irish wife, and I'm an Irish man with a Korean wife. So the sailors say, have you got mixed up? All the different countries here, even Slovenia, there's new countries, people getting involved. The main Seamen's missions, of course, would be the Catholic Seamen's Mission and the Anglican Seamen's Mission. Then you have a Fisherman's Mission, and you have things like Logos Hope and Mercy Ships and YWAM Ships. There's a lot of ministry where the sea is involved, but ours is a Seamen's Mission, non-denominational, evangelical and international Seamen's Mission, one of the smaller ones. But we do have links right around the world, and that was a conference there. That was last May. We were able to get together, and he's the new missionary in Liverpool, taking over from the older missionary in Liverpool. And he's a person from a ship, and this couple here, they're from Portugal, and they're actually on the Isle of Wight today with my colleague over there, and it's called Solent, the SCFS Solent team, and they're sharing in a church today. But please pray for this couple here, John and Ruth, who live in Lisbon, and they have 2 children. They're seeking the Lord. They will call to Seamen's Mission work. And whether it's in Portugal or Southampton, but they've been trying so hard to get into the ships, access to the ships in Lisbon. And there's another couple who are starting in Slovenia, Sven and Dorothea. You might be sitting here and wondering, ships have nothing to do with me. I'm not interested in ships. Well, how did you get here? Maybe a car or clothes. Just look at the label on the clothes or where the food comes from. 90% of world trade is by sea. We depend on these people. And especially as an island, we really depend. Like orange, apple, banana, 2/3 come from other countries. All kinds of ships, containers, tankers, fishing, even submarine, and many kinds of ships. Charles, I mentioned, he's been helping me for the past year, and he's speaking over in Limerick this morning in Mallow Street Gospel Hall, and that's great. And Jay is speaking somewhere as well, so it's great to get more people praying for us and more ladies knitting the woolly hats. And it's wonderful to get the support, and it was so encouraging to have the youth club doing the Christmas presents for us again. We usually give out about 1,000 between November and February, and we're still giving them out at the moment. No seafarers, no shipping, no shopping, the lifeblood of world trade. And someone said, without ships, half the world would starve and half the world would freeze. Suez Canal, and the Suez Canal was blocked, and that's how ships got back into the spotlight again, because it was about $10 billion per day held up in traffic. My colleague in Rotterdam was actually able to go on board the ship when it came to Rotterdam, and he was able to give them Christmas presents. Look at marinetraffic.com. I think the skies are busy, but the oceans are very busy. Many, many ships. And normally every day I check the port website and marinetraffic.com, and you can see the live movements of ships around the harbour. Go and make disciples of all nations, and every day all nations coming to us. Sometimes from countries like North Korea or Slovakia or Switzerland, countries that have no sea. Well, Korea has, but countries where missionaries struggle to go, but yet we meet people from these countries who very often have learned English to work on a ship. And we bring them the literature in their own languages. Cork has many different terminals, and there's more now because of CCT, Cork Container Terminal at Ringaskiddy. And there's about 10 berths all around the harbour, many miles to drive. Charles lives in Carrigaline, and we're in Middleton, so both sides of the river. And Middleton's handy for Whitegate and for Cove. For Tivoli as well. Links in a chain, Walter used to say, whether we pray, give or go, we're a vital link in the chain. It's about teamwork. And that's why we're here to encourage you. Please pray for us. And we're so thankful for people who are praying for us as we go out every day onto the ships. For safety and for leadership and for... It's a floating congregation, and it's such a worldwide opportunity for mission. And we don't need an airplane ticket. We don't need a visa. The people are coming to us with open hearts, and they've learned English. These are Muslims from Syria on a livestock carrier taking animals, cows, from Ireland to Libya. How do you make friends with Muslims from Syria? Bring them to Burger King. So that was, and then I brought them to church afterwards another night. Wonderful. But this captain, he smoked 5 packets of cigarettes per day. No good. That's not good, even when you go on board. So it's like a Noah's Ark, the ship, all those cows going on board. It's really interesting. And some of the seafarers loved Ireland so much, 3 of them jumped. They stayed in Ireland, and the ship sailed away. It's quite rare that that happens, but it happens sometimes. That was just before the pandemic hit. Ronello in Ringaskiddy, he leads a Christian fellowship on a cruise liner called Saga Sapphire. Then Zoom meetings, of course. But it was just about 2 or 3 months we didn't visit ships, but constantly during the pandemic I was able to keep going, and out of the 5-kilometer rules, because of being a chaplain, you can keep going. Then in SCFS in the Philippines, it's called Church on the Oceans, a training program for born again Filipino seafarers to plant churches on all the ships they're going on board, whether it's cargo or cruise ships, which is really exciting when you think about it, because the church is not about buildings, it's about people, and God's people on a ship. When there's 2 or 3, or 10 or 20, what an amazing difference it can make on board the ship. So this is by Zoom then, and this was a plant from my friend Shane Jennings and Yul, in Cork Harbour. That was Easter on a cruise liner during pandemic. And you see there's no masks on, it's because they're one family. They've been quarantined for 6 months, 9 months altogether. They did baptisms in the swimming pool on board, no passengers. That's wonderful to see. The church on the oceans. So you imagine the size of that ship. That's a big one. And then this end of Psalm 107, 33 to 43, you can kind of see something like this. I came across this chart, and it's called the cycle of society. But basically, it starts off with dependence on God and faith. And it slowly gets down to here, selfishness, complacency, dependence on rulers and tyranny. So you can see, it's really interesting to think about that, but at the end of Psalm 107, you can see the difference between depending on God and depending on people. Godlessness and independence leads to destruction. And on this chart, there's actually a place called the point of no return. godlessness and dependence on the Lord leads to deliverance. There's a ship and they ran aground, a rock. And over the years in Cork, we've visited seafarers where they've had a fire on board. They said, another ship said, we've had pirates took over our ship. We were hostages for 3 months. Fire, pirates, engine failure, the rudder falling off a ship, running aground, storms. There's so many things that can happen on a ship. It's very scary, but thankfully they didn't sink because the ship had a double skin. But the massive waves and the winter time, you know, it can be stormy when we're in the land. Imagine being on a ship and some of the fishing boats, it's very, like a roller coaster, very scary. So please pray for their safety. Martin has written many books. The Seafarer's one is the one I brought along today there. But The Seafarer's Mind is a great one. And it's in many maritime schools in the Philippines. And it's given as compulsory reading for students to read in Philippines. And it's really great too. And you can download it for free as well. He said, I've been on the ship for 1 year. This is the first time I've come off the ship. That's a banana boat in Ringaskiddy, because they bring fresh fruit, pineapples and bananas. It's Ireland's supply of bananas and pineapples for 1 week. Every week they come in. But he said, this 1 year I haven't been on board, and I brought them suitcases because they want to go home. This ship had been abandoned for 2 years in Rotterdam, and my colleagues were on board. 2 years, no salary, and the ship was appropriately named Turbulence. But amazingly, they crossed the Atlantic Ocean, and that kind of ship never goes 100 miles offshore, but it did 5,000 miles voyage. And in the middle of the Atlantic, they were phoning my colleague, please pray for us. The crew are at each other's throats. There's a lot of tension, stress on board. They didn't even know if they had enough fuel on board to get across 5,000 miles and stormy weather. But miraculously, they got to the other side. There was a woman, Lady Cook, on board. Jay and me getting some Christmas presents from supporters, baptizing a seaman on the deck of the ship. And that was March 2021. Ariel, the cook, Filipino cook, weekly Bible studies. This was last February 2022, so last February. And it's time to go and baptize some more seafarers. It doesn't have to be February, but he's Edwin. And it was the same ship, the ship called Mirror. And Jay had these weekly Bible studies, which is so amazing. This story got into the Cork Bio newspaper. I brought 100 McDonald's burgers to an oil tanker in Whitegate during pandemic. I brought 25 freebies from McDonald's Milton, and then at night time the Greek captain emailed me, my friend, please bring 100 burgers and 60 fries. So I phoned up Middleton McDonald's and they were like, what, can you say that again? So 100 burgers, and they were all so happy they made a TikTok dance to celebrate. Mr. Lee, now he had no English at all from China, no English, but I used Google Translator and Microsoft Translator. And you can remember, pray for your knee, Mr. Knee. And finally, after many days of becoming great friends, and it was amazing, we were able to get along with each other, even though we know English. And he said, my wife and daughter are believers. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic, great. But later on, I was thinking, I wonder what they believe. And it turns they believe the wrong thing, because they belong to a cult started by a Korean in China. So please pray for Mr. Knee. And for his wife and daughter, Shin Chung Ji. You might have heard about it. Apparently it's in Ireland as well. But I know this is recording, so I'm a bit scared. Not really, no, don't be scared. Jesus, protect us. And here, Filipinos, they said, now we feel human again. It was the first time going off the ship. 18 months on board the ship during pandemic. Imagine if we weren't allowed to leave the GAA for 18 months. 18 months, we'd become pretty good then, hurling, right? But maybe we'd be attacking each other with the hurlies. Imagine you're on a ship for 18 months and you don't like someone else on the ship. There's been so many challenging situations. I remember one man said, I lost my wife because of COVID. Not because she passed away from COVID, but because he was stuck on the ship, couldn't fly home, no flights. She ran away with another man. So there's so many really sad stories where ships are concerned. This guy's in his 80s, still working on a ship. He's a German chief engineer. The woolly hat's the key to a seaman's heart. One lady knitted 400 hats in a year. So she's the record holder. It is a bit dangerous sometimes. And Charles has been quite horrified. Charles, the guy who helps me, he's such a blessing, you know. He was walking his dog and he said, Lord, I've stepped back from youth ministry in the church. What's next? And he heard God say, go to the ships.
So in over a year, he's visited over 300 ships with, like, he's a, it's such a blessing. And he's also the chairman of Street Pastors in Cork. But it can be a bit dodgy sometimes, so please pray for our safety. And we've seen some horrific gangways, much worse than that. Service on board Mervyn Jeffers, and Charles has now become a trustee, and Mervyn has stepped back from being a trustee, although he's still involved. Mervyn Jeffers and Charles over there, and having services on board during the pandemic there. John 3:16, three ladies from Hong Kong on a ship, and it was very unusual to meet women on a cargo ship, but they're very common on cruise liners, of course. I brought them to Fota, and no one was allowed ashore. It was a company policy because of COVID, but the captain said, okay, three ladies, go, go, go. Special for the ladies. And we had a great time going ashore, and about five people on their ship gave their life to the Lord in this service on board. Jay visiting, and it's great to encourage each other. And I visit him in Dublin, he visits me in Cork. And then this is a steep gangway, so we have to climb up, and it's good I have a degree in forestry. sometimes you have to climb this one. They're Ukrainian, and they like to get something alive on the ship. And sorry, I keep turning my head around. a Romanian told me, in a world that's forgotten about God, you show people that God exists. And he knew he was, well, that's us getting a load of Christmas presents. Bringing seafarers, Indians, Hindu, and Sikh, and Muslim, bring them to church with us. Charles there, bring them from a cruise liner. And into Fota Wildlife Park, it's wonderful, and they give us a student rate discount from Fota, and I bring people regularly from cruise liners to Fota, and we need some volunteers. We have a place beside the train station, it was Cove Maritime, and I have the key, and we need people, because there's 83 cruise liners booked for this coming season, from April through to October. Endurance is what we needed during pandemic, isn't it? Name of the ship, Amber Star. I was looking for a dove of peace. There's a pigeon of purpose. And all the little gifts, giving them. This man gave his life to the Lord in Cork. He's from Kidford Island, Paolo. And a Ukrainian, and they made the weightlifting, you know, Ukrainian flag. He's from Mariupol. And he said we were in bomb shelter for 3 weeks. No food and water, we had to escape. And now he's working back on the ship from Mariupol. Then Anton from Ukraine also, and his wife, they were refugees also, and they lived on the ship for a while, and then Charles gave them accommodation in his house in Carrigaline. And that's our family. Thanks for your prayers. And these guys lead the Christian Fellowship on a cruise liner. They told me there's three types of passengers on a cruise liner. The newlywed, you know, married couples. The newlywed, the overfed, and the nearly dead. It's on the bucket list. but of course, there's only two kinds of people. People at work and people on holidays. And Miriam also. They lead the Christian Fellowship on Emerald Princess, I think. And this is Norwegian Dawn. Norwegian Dawn. So the man I've been down there. And Glenn here, he leads the Christian Fellowship on board, and that was us in Cove. And Ireland, rainy weather, but they love to go ashore. My cruise liner brought the church well. This is Portland in the UK. And Jonathan, great to, because the ships are going between our ports, and that's where follow-up is so important. And discipleship, Gary and a passenger, and Johnson, he's a pastor in Cove. And Glenn, who, he was just rejoining the ship after going home for vacation and came back again. She's from Nepal, and that was 10 years previously, Durga, and she became a Christian, and she's from a Hindu background, and she's really involved in the Christian Fellowship on the cruise liner. So it's really great. This is the place, I said, we need some volunteers to help me with the thousands of crew members who are coming off, just to talk to them, because I have access to this place, beside the train station in Cove. The world, go and make disciples of all nations, right? The world's coming in daily. Ajit Fernando, Youth for Christ director in Sri Lanka, he said, we never reach the world if we wait for them to come to us. We must go. G-O, go. Someone said two-thirds of God is, you know, go. G-O-D, God. And, you know, don't desire the world, right? What profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? This man was on a cruise liner. His name is Morton. But the cruise liner had no passengers, and it was actually going to be used for Ukrainian refugees. But I don't think it's happening now, but that was the plan, and it was near Cove. And Sophia from Colombia, the ship's doctor, but he cut his foot with an angle grinder, and then he was in hospital. New terminal in Ringaskiddy, massive, 6,000 cars coming in from South Korea. And that's Charles and me on U-Cor. And the Korean captain on this ship was quite interesting. He said he likes eating raw chicken, raw beef, and raw fish. So we didn't have the first two, but I brought him to the English market. And he said it was the best day of my life. that was me, because it was last minute. We had to get all the stuff back onto the ship. They said, Captain, where are you? The pilot is coming in 30 minutes. And I said, okay, we'll be back in 5 minutes. And he bought $700 worth of food for the ship. And I drove my car up onto the ship. This was presents Charles brought. And then Belfast is a Siemens mission center. And so does Dublin. And the people who were on the ship in Cork then came to Belfast. And I met them up there with Jay. The Logos Hope. And we have a missionary there, Michael. And he started a ministry called Ship to Ship Ministry. S2S, Ship to Ship Ministry. So during pandemic, no visitors to Logos ship. So they started doing ministry to cargo ships and any ships, which is wonderful. And that ministry is going on. And so the Church on the Oceans also, all the ports they're going and spreading the news. Pray until something happens. Push. Boy, at Christian Seafarer, pray for the ship. The Church is not a pleasure cruise. It's not a battleship, but Ephesians 6 reminds us we're in a battle. We have an enemy, but Jesus is the victor. We should be a fleet of fishing boats, because the purpose of that ship is self-protection, but this one is fishing. And a lifeboat in someone's life, a bridge builder, a minister of reconciliation, because one day the door will close. But today is still the day of world mission. And here's a Christian captain also, and some containers we have in Ringaskiddy. More presents, bringing them into church. And our family, just before we went to Korea last November, a ship came in called Sky Time. And that was a very nice name, because we realized it's time to go to the sky. We flew to Korea then and had a lovely holiday. The crew members, as always, so thankful, so happy to meet someone. There's one man from Egypt, and it was great to be able to bring him to church. Sunwa's family there in South Korea, she's from a Buddhist background, and she gave her life to the Lord in South Korean University. And she's five sisters and one brother. So please pray for the sisters who are still Buddhist. There's some statistics of me and Charles. Last year we visited 772 cargo ships, 65 cruise ships, and we ministered to over 7,000 crew. So it is busy, and we've 731 presents given out already this year. That's Suma there, and there we are, wrapping up with the youth club. So thank you so much for helping us again. We used to do it in the park in Middleton. And the van load of Christmas presents, strong Italian coffee, crammed into a lift on a car carrier. And a steep, dodgy gangway. The cook was so desperate to get a SIM card, he came down his flip-flops and they fell off. I wasn't going to climb that gangway, it was so scary. Even they were struggling. And Port of Cork. Pray for Radoslav, please. He's a Bulgarian seafarer and he's in hospital at the moment, life support. And I've been visiting him for a month now. He started to come out of the coma, and he was able to start talking through in Bulgarian. But then he had a cardiac arrest last Monday, a week ago. Back on life support, dialysis, lung drainage, all kinds of things. So it's really life and death situation. So please pray for Radoslav. I saw him in his cabin when they're taking him off the ship. Bringing the Christmas presents ongoing, the seafarers looking out. There's an old hymn says, eager eyes are longing, watching for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. The rainbow, God's promise. And a captain friend who grows vegetables on board. They love fresh, something green on board. Two ladies from Taiwan, you can also pray for them. Gave their lives to the Lord last Sunday. Soon I was able to lead them to the Lord and hope to do Bible studies with them. From Taiwan, and I met them because they work in Wilton Shopping Centre just near the hospital when I was visiting Radoslav. And that one's sort of gone off the edge of the screen. Prayer points, ongoing ministry of STFS and workers, new workers, Sunwa's family in Korea, all the seafarers and the cruise ship season, and I can't remember what that one is. Many ship churches, the Koto Church on the Oceans program, and the new ports. So thank you so much for all your prayers, and We're going to sing our final hymn, I think, Amazing Grace, just written by a ship captain, John Newton. He lost his eyesight, and then he said, I can't see, but now I can see. Colin.